Good morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today's message is going to come from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2. And the thought for today's message, or maybe the question for today's message, is how are you handling your inheritance? Now, I'm not talking about an inheritance of money or real estate or something like that. I'm talking about spiritual inheritance. Now, those of us that were raised in church and had godly parents taught us the foundations of Christianity, pointed us to the cross. So when that time came and we were convicted of our sins, that we would look but with an eye of faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, that's one area of inheritance that I want to talk about today. The other area of inheritance is that of our nation. And we will see how that if we don't wisely handle our inheritance, our spiritual inheritance, that sin and the deception of Satan will quickly erode it. Now, in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is struggling with all his labor and his mortality, that he's going to have to leave all his labor, all the things that he built, all the things that he accumulated, he's going to pass on and he's got to leave it to someone else. And it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me." So Solomon is facing the cold reality that he's going to pass away. His life is going to end, and all these things that he built, the vineyards, the homes, the houses, the tree groves, all these things that he built, someone's going to inherit it, and he's not going to be here any longer. So Solomon continues on in verse 19, and he asks a question. "And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool?" So Solomon's struggling with the fact that through wisdom, you know, God gave him wisdom, and through wisdom he labored and all this, although he called it a vanity. It was futile, and it was a vexation of his spirit. He was struggling with the fact that, yes, he accumulated all this and he built this, but someone who inherits it, who is foolish, may squander it and just make waste of it. Which leads to my first thought of today's lesson. If we grew up in a godly home with godly parents who carried us to church, who's our center of our home life was the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was the foundation of our home life, we were given a firm, strong foundation. And a wise person, a wise child, when they become an adult, will take that inheritance, that spiritual inheritance that their parents taught them, and they will teach their family. They will build on that with their family. And then the next generation will build on that. But see, we can see through the society that we live in, that everyone's, not everyone's, but the vast majority of home life in this country has eroded. It has eroded. People are not being taught. Children are not being taught like they were a generation ago or two or three generations ago. The foundations of the Lord Jesus Christ are not being taught in the homes. We've let that erode. We've let society get in. We've let this world get in. We've let other things get in. We've let other foolish people teach our kids concepts and precepts and things that ordinarily we would not allow, and we would take that responsibility to teach our kids about the Lord, to teach our kids, to point them to the cross. But yet the home life in this country now is not what it once was. So then we have to ask our question, with generation after generation, has what someone has wisely built in their family and it passed on to the next generation, was it foolishly handled or was it wisely handled? We have to see with the condition of our society that it has been foolishly handled. It has been ignored. It has been twisted. It has been perverted. And there's a form of godliness, but it is denying the power thereof. For we say we go to church. We play the game. We act the game. We do this. We do that. But when it comes to true worship of the Lord Jesus Christ and absolute true repentance according to His word, where is it? It has been foolishly handled throughout our society. Friends, if you had godly parents and they taught you in the ways of God, it is your responsibility to carry that on to your kids, to teach your kids. Then it is your kids' responsibility to teach it to their kids. We must wisely handle our inheritance of God in His Word. Wisely handle that and build upon it from one generation after another. But sadly, it has eroded. And that's what Solomon was struggling with about worldly things. I'm putting this in a spiritual sense. But he asked the question, how do I know whether the one that comes after me is going to be wise or if he's going to be foolish? And he says, yet shall he have rule over my labor, wherein I have labored and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Now, we can't do anything about what a person may inherit from our labor or anything like that. But it is our responsibility to be wise and to seek God's guidance in how we teach our children, how we live our lives, how we conduct ourselves, and all these things. It is our responsibility. And then when we're gone, that responsibility falls on that generation that remains. But then we go on, and it says, verse 20, therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored, therein shall he leave it for his portion or inheritance. This also is vanity and a great evil. So now, as I was studying over this, from a national perspective, I think about our forefathers who founded this country, who signed the Declaration of Independence, who died for the cause of this country. This country was founded on a Christian foundation. This country was founded on Christian principles. Men fought and died for that foundation, for those Christian principles. But now, if you fast forward to today, from what our forefathers built and the foundation that our forefathers set for this country, how do you think, if we could talk to them, how do you think they would feel about the condition of our country now? From what they built, and then from what generations after them inherited, it has been foolishly handled. It has been foolishly treated. It has been mocked. It has been made fun of. It has been perverted, and it has been twisted. So we really need to stop and think about what we inherit spiritually. We need to handle it wisely. We need to really think about it and realize the fact that, see, we live in a society. If we were able to rewind our prayers and listen to our prayers, I would venture to say that most of our prayers are have the tone of, God, you owe me something. God, you owe me something. Because I find myself a lot of times praying, God, do this for me. God, get me out of this situation. God, give me that. God, do this. God, do that. Guess what? God does not owe you and I anything. He owes us absolutely nothing. Now, let's understand what I'm talking about here. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and he paid a debt. He paid a sin debt that I owed, that you owed, that it was absolutely impossible for me to pay and for you to pay, but he paid our debt. And if anybody owes anything, we owe him. We owe him to the point that we surrender our life to him because he has already paid the debt. It is paid in full. We have been bought with a price. We have been purchased with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that thought, that thinking that God owes us something has eroded our society. It has eroded our churches. Our faith has become futile in a lot of ways. And we want to serve God in a way that we want to treat him as a bellhop when we need him, when we want him to do something for us, that's when we'll call on him. Otherwise, we want to live the way we want to live. We want to do the way we want to do. But the truth of the matter is, we owe him everything because he paid the price on Calvary and paid the debt that it was absolutely impossible for me to pay and for you to pay. But yet today, the tone, if you will, of Christianity, of modern day Christianity, is far from what it should be. It is far from what it should be. Because we should, as Paul said, we should be surrendering ourselves a living sacrifice unto God to prove what is the perfect will of God in our life. It is only reasonable that we do that because of the price that he paid for us. But yet, if our thinking and what motivates us is constantly what God can do for us, we are not wisely handling our inheritance. We're treating God as if he's not truly God. For friends, when we stand before a holy and a righteous God, we will see the holiness, the righteousness of him, and we will see our absolute filthy sin before us. Before we cannot look upon a holy and a righteous God because you and I, we are cursed with that sin nature. But see, he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for us and to pay that debt. And the tone of our prayers and the tone of our service now should be, Lord, what can I do for you? Lord, please direct me in how I can honor you. Lord, please direct me in how I can uplift you. And that way, we begin to wisely handle our spiritual inheritance. That way, we start becoming a mature child of God rather than an immature child of God. Our prayers become effectual and fervent rather than amiss. So see, we have to be able to properly handle what we've inherited and wisely handle what we've inherited on a personal basis, on a family basis, and also on a national basis. Otherwise, through the deception of Satan and that sin nature that's in us, it will erode. But let's wisely handle what we have inherited. But that's today's message. I hope something's been said that's would be a help to you. And I will be back with you next week. This is Joel Martin.